This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
And good morning and welcome to another fantastic Wednesday edition of the Blitz live here on Fan Run Radio. Fall camp has begun for your Vols, and we're here to talk about it. Everything going on. Media days yesterday. Chance Collins, Charlie, and GP3 back behind the booth. If you want to listen to us, head over to fanrunradio.com. Click the live link at the top. Also, if you want to follow along, see our smiling faces this morning, follow our Periscope. That's on Facebook and Twitter live at Fox Sports Knoxville. And as always, we've got an app if you like those. And if you haven't downloaded it, what are you waiting for? You can take it wherever you may go. No streaming issues there with the Fan Run Radio app. As always, FM 105.7 AM 1340 WKGN. Back on a kind of cloudy Wednesday. But as always, it's... Charlie, you know what today is?
What is today?
Hump Day! Charlie. It is Hump Day.
Do you realize that you were just sitting here yelling right now at me?
Yeah. Coming in with some energy.
I mean, my, you know, chilly hot, first day of pads, all that, but...
You want me to do like, well, guys, it's Hump Day.
No, just you're just saying, it's Hump Day!
Another great I'm day yelling! Here on the radio. Thank you guys for tuning in to us. It is so wonderful, Eeyore. No, fall camp started. It's Hump Day. We're over the hump. Getting over the hump. I'm excited. You're excited. I know you are.
You ruined. You just zapped all my excitement.
Lies.
With your stupid Hump Day.
Lies. It's a great Wednesday, though. Also, thank you to GP3. He brought me the breakfast today for the Home Run Derby bet, so that was awesome. And he remembered. He didn't need any reminder like Charlie says he needs.
I told you. I think at this point it's your own fault. You are lazy or something. Because if if all I had to do was send a text the night before to get free breakfast, I would have done it already.
I have already said what I wanted. GP3 needed no text. He remembered.
I don't know where it is.
Because he cares.
I don't know where one is.
You have a navigational system on your phone.
I'm not gonna go like way out of my way.
I don't like McDonald's breakfast.
Well, I live over by Dunkin' and all that now, too.
No, you live on the south side now. There is definitely a McDonald's, I mean, not McDonald's, but a BK very close to you. Very close. I guarantee it's only like a mile away. There's actually one as soon as you're on Chapman Highway right there, like when you go through the first light on your left-hand side, as soon as you cross the bridge.
You got all the BKs scoped out in town?
I just remember where they are.
It's kind of weird that you know this much about Burger King, man. It's not good enough.
I just have a good memory.
There is
lived in Knoxville for a while.
You're saying that there is not a Burger King right across the bridge. You're thinking of a Wendy's that looks like a Burger King.
Wendy's breakfast is top tier too, though.
Are you looking at this right now with facts?
Yeah, because I thought that there was a Burger King there too, and then I looked the other day because I was going to remember to get you Burger King.
Oh. Well, thank you, GP3, coming through. Got me all excited for my breakfast.
Only 3 weeks late.
It's all good.
Maybe I'll make you breakfast and I'll bring it in.
It's the thought that counts. It's definitely the thought that counts. How are you guys doing?
Great.
You sure?
Yeah. I feel like I'm a little unnecessarily jacked up right now, but maybe it's necessary.
What's wrong
because
with that?
I don't know.
It's necessary. It's fall camp, baby.
It's fall camp.
Pads are going to be on soon.
I think they already are. I think practice has begun, and people are rolling, and they're doing their thing.
Are they pads today? I didn't think they were pads today.
Oh, wait, yeah, I mean.
They might just be shells.
Yeah, I just say pads is like generic football
they're not
expression
hitting
for practice beginning. But, yeah, they're not actually
they're not
wearing
popping.
Pads and,
they're not
and
popping.
Hitting probably.
They are not popping yet. So we got a lot to get to on that front. We'll talk about what Josh Heupel and his staff said for their official media days with local media yesterday here in Knoxville after we got off the air. They had that going on at noon. I don't know if a lot of you saw that press conference, but we do have the transcripts. We'll talk about that. Outside of that, a lot to get to. We had the Olympics last night. We also had some MLB to get to. We'll also get to our NFL preview. We'll continue that. Yesterday we did the NFC least. Charlie, what's on the books today? Which division out of the NFC?
The NFC South, of course.
NFC South. Like it. Moving right along there. So outside of that, everybody having a good day, though? Charlie's jacked up because I'm yelling at him. GP3?
I'm doing all right, I guess. I got arm in this little splint here.
You got the carpal tunnel?
That's what the doctor thinks it might be. Yeah.
When you were talking the other day, I was like, that sounds like a little carpal tunnel injury. No.
I don't know. I think it might be a little pinched nerve or something in my hand, but they got to keep me in this for a little while until the pain goes away. Take some ibuprofen.
Nice. But, day by day.
Yeah.
You're going to be day to day for the next couple weeks or so.
I can fight through it. If I had
That's
a game.
What we like to hear.
If I had a game tomorrow, I'd play through the pain.
You'd be probable.
Yep.
You would never be questionable. You would be probable. You'll fight through the pain.
Put me in your fantasy lineup. I'm good to go.
Nice. We also have other NBA free agency news to get to today as well. We'll continue to talk about that front. A lot of things happening in the sports world, man. It's a great time. About to get ready for college football. We got, 30 days now or 29 until we hear tennis. It's football time in Tennessee. Even less time before our week zero games when we get those first college football games. But tomorrow.
UCLA, Hawaii, baby.
Yeah, tomorrow Hall of Fame game. This is the last week where this is the first week we get football, and we have it from here on out until February. We have football of some sort from here on out all the way up until February.
That doesn't just give you the tingles.
Does it like
if it just starts you in goosebumps? Your toes, make it crinkle your nose, just
is that Natasha
feel good
Bedingfield
inside.
That you just quoted?
That was Colby Calais.
Colby Calais.
Yeah. Starts Wherever it goes. That's such a good song, but
it's for another day.
I mean, I don't know. Like, just hearing those words that tomorrow starts football endlessly until February is enough to get me aroused, honestly. I that is the best thing I've ever heard a human being
Charlie's
say.
Charlie's fully aroused.
Fully.
Fully aroused.
Full arousal.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't doubt it. You get to get back in the game. You get to get up late night, Pac-12 after dark. The Hawaii test.
That's what they call it. It's after Pac-12, after dark. They usually kick off at 11:59 Eastern time, but sometimes a little later.
Can you stay up for those?
I every time.
I can't. I might make them.
The real fun part is when you get London game Sunday morning the Hawaii test Saturday night. At that point, you might as well just get a cup of coffee and some Bailey's and just parlay the 2 days together.
Experienced gambler over here. Experienced gambler. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number if you want to chime in today. Hey, fall camp has started. We are here, and we are ready, people. Take a quick time out. Phil, we're going to get you on the other side. This is Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Oh, it's so savory. It's so good. Thank you, GP3. GP3 got me the double. Got me the double breakfast sandwich this morning. It's amazing. Shout out to the guy behind the booth making it all happen.
Like two different sandwiches, or is what
double
is it?
Stack.
So it's croissant, meat, croissant,
meat. No.
Meat, croissant?
No, it's one croissant, two meat, cheese, egg. So it's like croissant, egg, meat. Cheese, meat.
I like a good bagel breakfast sandwich.
Bagel?
Yeah, a nice little bagel.
Can't really do bagels.
I like bagels and cream cheese. And
I love bagels, man.
Every now and again.
I also love that fall camp started today, Chance.
There you go. That's the attitude I'm looking for. 865-546-82. Let's go and take a quick call from Phil on this Wednesday morning. What's up, Philly?
Good morning, Chancellor.
Good morning to you.
How y'all doing this morning?
Feeling
fantastic.
Is it true Chuck lives in South Knoxville?
Yeah, he's a Southie now.
Wow. We got something in common there. I think I would happen to you.
I wish we had more in common, honestly.
he's no Vestal. He's Southie, though.
Chancellor, I guess the last time you were South Knoxville, there was a Burger King up on the left, but it's a Bojangles now, the next Burger King.
Okay.
About 3 miles on the left by the TVA Credit Union out in South Knoxville.
Yeah, all right. So Phil knew what I was talking about. That is the last time I lived in South Knoxville. I guess they took it down. Shame on them.
Yeah. I say Bojangles does more business, though, than that one did. So
yeah.
If it wasn't that way.
Bo. We got to talk about Bojangles today, too.
Our linebacking situation, you got the kid from Texas is coming in. You got Willis, who didn't practice, and you got the Beasley, who practiced just a little bit because of all the problems with the dog. And then you got Jeremy Banks didn't practice. So who was the linebackers this past spring?
This past spring is when it was pretty ugly when we didn't have people practicing. You had Karat Garland, it was a name that I had not heard before.
I liked his brother, isn't it, you're talking about.
Yeah. And then we had our long snapper playing
right.
Linebacker.
Huh.
We did have the long snapper playing.
And
linebacker.
It wasn't like, you know, he played linebacker and long snapped in high school. Will Albright, yeah. He didn't like just play he didn't play linebacker in high school or anything either. Like, he was just a long snapper also in high school. So the fact that he was playing linebacker wasn't the best thing in the world.
I think the guy Charlie's talking about is Kwaze Garland.
Yeah, Kwaze Garland, excuse me. But I like where we're at linebacker with, you know, with what you have at the top with Juwan Mitchell and with presumably Jeremy Banks. I feel good about that. But if we have to move past that, if there are health issues or whatever else with those first two, that's where I would get pretty concerned.
Yeah, but you need 4 or 5 linebackers because you're talking about injuries and, you know, somebody gets a blow or whatever.
I was talking like specifically about, like middle linebackers with those two. Hopefully they can take
Banks
the majority of the snaps.
Defend the pass,
Yeah, he had some struggles last season, I guess, or defending the pass, or he has. I guess was it last season.
He didn't play. No, the year before he did pick that one ball off. I remember, and
he had 2 interceptions. Yeah. In one game. It was Quavarius Crouch who kept getting beat over the top last year. That's who you're thinking of.
Not so much. I guess it was
Toto didn't play too good last year either. He's supposed to be the next. Best thing ever, you know?
Yeah, and the fact that you had so many talented players on your defense and it felt like none of them played well makes me wonder, you know, how much of that was related to scheme, coaching, whatever else, instead of just those players.
Didn't the linebacker coach leave last year before the season started and went somewhere else?
Are you talking about last year?
Yeah,
no,
and then
I think
Rocker left.
Are you thinking
before
of the one
last year too?
Pruitt fired midseason.
That was defensive line coach, right, Jimmy Brumbaugh?
I'm talking about before the season started last year, though. One of them got a job with the pros, I think. Whoever the linebackers coach was.
I'm trying to think, and that sounds familiar. All of a sudden, like my brain is just not remembering that.
I thought Moose was handling linebackers before switching to tight ends, or
yeah, he did a lot of linebacker stuff last year.
No, I think you're right, Phil.
Kevin Scherr.
I don't know.
Kevin
Scherr.
Didn't he go to? Did he go Joe Judge?
Yes, to the Giants.
Yeah.
Him and Skull can up there together, huh? Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I just don't know what we're gonna do this year. Is Milton gonna be a quarterback? I mean, we need a major upgrade quarterback for us to have a winning season.
I think they are infatuated with Joe Milton.
I think quarterback's going to be our issue this year.
I think the good news is that whatever we do decide at quarterback this year, it will be an upgrade from last year. I can't imagine that we are throwing a quarterback that plays worse than Jarek Arantano out there with the options that we have.
I sure hope so.
And Joe Milton's a big guy. I know we've talked about that, you know, looking on paper, but – seeing him out there yesterday, the photos going around about him and like when he's been talking to the media, that's a big boy.
Yeah, he is.
He is a big boy. He is everything. As you know, whatever he does in the field, we got to see results there.
But people comparing him to the size of Cam Newton and such, I mean, he is.
Well, yeah. Cade Mays was asked about the first time he saw Milton, and he said that he thought he was a defensive end.
Yeah, he's a big man. I like hearing that.
Speaking of Cade Mays, are they going to make him a tackle or a guard this year? Are they going to let him play both? I mean, you got to leave him in one spot and let him flourish.
I think you have to play him at tackle.
That's what I would say as well.
I just don't think we're deep enough to move him inside. And then you still got Darnell Wright, who might be able to play right tackle, but
I think we're going to move him inside. Or I guess keep him inside.
Keep him inside?
Yeah, I do.
Let him take over Trey Smith's role?
I mean, you know, you want to probably get – I mean, he's presumably your best offensive lineman, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You want to get the best out of him, and he's at his best when he's in the interior. You know, when you already aren't going to have the best offensive line in the world, you don't want to
that might
make
help too,
your best player be not as good.
If you're putting Cooper at center and then have him play beside him, I guess that might, you know, the little brother connection right there, that won't mess up any inside techniques.
Is Jabari Small going to be a running back? Everybody says they're real high on him. Is he going to be that good?
They've had a lot of nice things to say about him, about his maturity. I know I saw where they were talking about that, and you know that he can just be—he could be very explosive. And you know, from what little we saw of him last year, I think he's probably the front runner.
And then Tyon Evans
behind him,
and then D Beckwith maybe. Can you imagine D Beckwith and Joe Milton lining up in the backfield? That's big beefy boys right
That's
there.
That's the jumbo package, baby. That's the jumbo package.
Yeah, I'd say D. Beckwith for being down there on the goal line for sure, or short yardage situations. Plus, he could be an H-back also and throw it to him.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Phil, like we said, we are kind of thin at some spots, but I'm still kind of coming around. I think this team might surprise some people. Now, are they going to go out and win 8-9 games? No. Yeah. I think 6 or 7 games are a legitimate possibility. I think 7 definitely is. And if you win 7, you go 7-5 during the regular season, it seems pretty good.
Despite the win-loss record, I still think it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, that is one thing. The offense is going to be fun to watch. I don't think we're going to be screaming and throwing remotes at the TV because, like, what are they doing? There's not any offense going on. I mean, last year was so terrible to watch as far as offensive production. And
it was just boring.
There's no excitement at all. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement.
I'd take 6-6 right now.
Me too.
I'll see you guys.
I would too.
Appreciate the phone call, Phil. Appreciate the phone call. Take 6-6 right now. I think a lot of people would. I think a lot of people would, especially after going through that Pruitt debacle. Everything that's happened, all the off-the-field drama, I mean, even going into the season with Caden Salter drama and having him getting kicked off the team, a lot of people would be very happy with 6-6.
And I think 6-6 is very realistic. I mean, I don't think that's, like, asking too much either.
Yeah.
The way the schedule works out this year, I don't see why you can't get to 6-6.
I think so, too. I agree. Heupel did talk about Joe Milton and what he's done to ready himself for the quarterback competition, but he really just kind of – he stepped around it this time. He didn't really say much individually about Milton. He kind of just alluded to all the guys in the quarterback room, really the same thing that all of our guys could have done and have been doing when he was asked on what Joe Milton has done to ready himself for the quarterback competition. They spent extra time in the film room. Those guys, as much as anybody on our football team, have been up spending extra time in the film room. So he really didn't focus on Joe Milton, but they got a lot of positive things to say about the quarterbacks, as they should, as they will. That's what coach speak is. But I'm pretty excited. I'm not full sheep right now. I don't have my big orange glasses on, but I'm pretty excited about what the future holds and how this season is going to go. Not any big major position changes. He talked about that. Nobody going from offense to defense or defense to offense, something that you saw Pruitt do numerous times during his tenure. But it seems like everything that I hear from the coaches, and this is probably coach speaking, this is what coaches do, but it seems like they think they're going to be a lot better too than predicted.
Hopefully. Hopefully. You think
well, I know. That's what I'm saying. But like, it just seems like, you know, they got a lot of confidence in this team and not really any major concerns, like a couple concerns here and there with roster depth. But You know, I think that they feel pretty confident heading into this season. Nobody, and that's how the players have talked too. They're all kind of, we want to get out in the field, let the play do the talking, no more talking. You know, they want to get out there and hit some people and really show the Tennessee fans that this is a different team from last season completely, a completely different team. Westchester on Twitter says, the mayor says he'd take 6-6. Hell, I'd take 4-8 right now. I don't know about that, Westchester.
I'm not there at 4-8.
Come on now. Are you that broken, man?
At least the worst I would take is 5-7, but I want 6-6. I want that to be the floor. I want that to be the floor. 8-6.
If we go
6-6,
I won't be happy.
Really?
No.
Why?
I mean, that'll be like enough for me to be in the middle ground of like, I'm not happy with this. I'm not mad at this.
You won't be happy with 6-6?
No.
I mean, we always talk about projections and predictions, but it always depends on how you lose the games that you lose.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it, I guess, but.
But if you're just getting blown out in the 6 losses you lose, I guess, yeah, I wouldn't be happy with that either. But if you're competitive and they're just games you lose because you don't have that depth yet, then I won't have nearly as big an issue with it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe 7-5, like that would be when I would be like, yeah, I'm happy with this.
I'd be thrilled with 7-5.
I'm happy with this. But 6-6, like I'm not going to be excited about that. I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to be like, okay, cool. You did what you were supposed to, I guess. Be better the next year.
Wow. I'm going to be happy with 6-6. Going into the next season, yeah, 6-6 is not going to be my expectation or even the floor, but I'd be happy when 6-6.
What if we go 6-6 but beat either Alabama, Florida, or Georgia as one of our 6 wins? Would that make you happy?
He'd be through the
moon. Well, yeah, that win would like put my life in danger more than likely, but if we're winning one of those games, then what is one of the other losses for the 6?
Say you have a stinker against Pitt.
Oh, man, a stinker against Pitt.
But
gross.
Then you come back 2 weeks later and beat Florida.
I mean, like, obviously I'll be happy we beat Florida.
So people not watching the Periscope should have seen Charlie's face light up when I mentioned beating Alabama.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just the sheer thought of it.
And when he said it'd be a danger for himself, I know what that meant. And it probably would if Tennessee goes out and beats Alabama, Florida, Georgia. Charlie's going streaking. Yeah, he's going streaking.
Sure, let's do it.
Hypo was asked if he'd consider a 2-quarterback system.
Hell, if we cover, I'll streak.
Oh, somebody actually asked that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, for the quarterbacks, they're going to earn their role as they go through training camp. I anticipate us having a single starter. It doesn't mean that other guys won't have an opportunity to play. And what that looks like is dictated by the performance in the course of training camp and where you feel like collectively and individually that group lies. If you look at our track record, we typically had a starter, but other guys had situational roles that have been a big part of our success. I don't think at any position the strength of the position can be just one guy. I know that's unique with a quarterback that there typically is one guy, but I think you've got to continually develop that room. So he wants to get down to one starter. I think they want to have that known by the end of fall camp, if not even sooner. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number. Fall camp has started. Maybe you got some questions for us. On the other side, we'll answer the question of the offense. We'll talk about what do we most anticipate on that side of the ball and what we would like to see. Then we'll also answer questions about the defense as well. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. Blitz rolls along. FM 105.7 WKGN. Talking Vols fall camp. Media days. Everything we heard from Josh Heupel. We'll get to some other statements from the other coaches. But Charlie had a good idea. Let's go ahead and talk about what we expect from the offense and some of our biggest, I guess, questions to ask or the things that we'll be looking for moving forward. I think easy thing is quarterback. Of course, but
it's too obvious.
That's too obvious. That's number one, so we can go ahead and get that out the way. Nobody used that. But I want to see I'm excited to see the pace of this offense. We've heard all offseason how it's a very fast-paced offense. Attack, attack, attack. That's what Heupel preaches. That's what they want guys to constantly be focused on attacking. They want to be quick to the ball, quick in every facet of everything that they're doing on that side of the ball. So that's going to be what I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see how fast this offense really is, how the pace of it.
Is it going to be detrimental to the defense?
Yeah. Is it going to actually be a detriment to the defense? Like you say, is it going to be advantageous for us by continuing to do this? Is it going to wear defenses out? How many plays are they looking? What's the kind of honey hole range for the number of plays they want to get in each game that most likely secures a win where they would like to be? So that is for me, because that's all we've heard, and that's what we saw with Josh Heupel and his staff at UCF. So I would like to – I'm going to be really watching the pace. How advantageous is it? How badly is it wearing down that defense?
You know, I think the pace could actually be a problem at times this year, because we obviously are going to be at a depth disadvantage compared to most of our opponents, if not all of them. So we can wear down their defense, but we also don't have as many bodies to rotate defensively for when we, you know, move fast, but we have a three and out. Or we move fast, but we turn it over on the fourth, you know, play of the game, of the drive, or whatever else, and the defense has to get back out there quickly. That's, you know, when I would be a little concerned with the depth defensively specifically. You're going to have to put together a lot of good drives. You're going to have to you know, pick up a couple first downs and be efficient on first down to help your defense out.
Is that what you're going to be looking forward to as well?
Oh, no, I was just building off of yours. Yeah. What I'm looking for,
yeah,
I want to know what's going to happen to wide receiver. I mean, I feel like the obvious answer is that we have Velus Jones Jr. and we have Jalen Hyatt, and those two are going to be a big part of the offense. But I feel like, you know, the other receivers that are going to be involved is kind of a question mark at this point. Cedric Tillman, Ramel Keaton. Will we see either of them step up? You know, will it be Javonte Payton, the transfer from Mississippi State, who has had, you know, quite the long, winding road to get here, who, you know, has shown flashes of being a really good receiver while at Mississippi State in that air raid offense? You know, will we see Jimmy Holiday out there, the Jet? You know, anything more than just him being a gadget player? Because I feel like, you know, we're going to see him be that gadget guy, get a jet screen there, a bubble there, you know, maybe a wildcat snap here or there. But will we see him be involved as just a slot receiver, you know, more than just that? Same with Jimmy Callaway. Jimmy Holiday, Jimmy Callaway, oops. But, yeah, same with both of them. There's just so many options for that third receiver spot, and I feel like a lot of it is still – unclear. To mention Jack Jancic.
Jack Jancic and Grant Furking as well.
Grant Furking's not playing, but Jack Jancic. He tore it up in the spring game somehow.
He did.
Two catches for like 150 yards or something.
He's going up there. But yeah, wide receiver core, that's also something to look at. Like you say, the progression of some of these guys, Cedric Tillman, Ramel Keaton, you know, take that next big leap. You think your number one and your number two, obviously, Velus Jones Jr. and Jalen Hyatt. Where do you go from there? A lot of talk about Javonte Payton transfer in. So, yeah, those are some guys that we'll definitely have our eyes on. GP3, what's the lingering question for you on the side of the offense?
For me, it's the run game. So a combination of the offensive line and the running backs. And I say that because I feel like that kind of – gets forgotten about a lot when it comes to Heupel's offense. People mm-hmm. think he's just an air raid guy, but he's really not. I mean, he relies on the run game for his offense, for the passing game to open up. At UCF, his first year there, they averaged like 265 rushing yards per game, and during his whole 3 years there, they never averaged under 210 yards rushing yards per game. So figuring out how the offensive line is going to shape up, and then who's going to get the nod at running back. I mean, it's probably going to be a three-headed monster in some form, but just kind of how that shapes out, because you look at Tennessee the past three seasons, they've averaged around 130 to 140 rushing yards per game. So Heupel was averaging almost 100 yards more per game on the ground than Tennessee was.
Yeah, Alex Golish, offensive coordinator, was asked about Tennessee's running back situation, how it stands heading to the preseason, and he had this to say: "I think we walked away from spring saying that we were still trying to figure that out. That was one of the biggest question marks for me. The way we play the tempo, which we play, you really have to have 3 to 4 guys ready to roll, and by ready to roll, I mean into a game, guys that you're going to play. 3 that are legitimately playing, and a 4th and 5th, hopefully, that are with you on special teams. The tempo invites the rotation." So it is going to be a three-headed monster, as you were talking about. He said that, quote, "We left spring saying Jabari Small is definitely a guy that we can count on and we can trust. He's still young, still hasn't had a whole lot of time, but really proved that he understood what we're trying to do. He's not a complete finished product, but understood what we were trying to do. And I think attitude, effort, and toughness is all those things that embody what Jabari is." He also wanted to talk about Tyon Evans and also Jalen Wright having a pretty good summer. "He showed a lot of promise this spring. Knock on wood, we keep that group healthy and let it kind of play itself out." So the next couple weeks are going to be big, is what he also went on to say. So you're looking at likely Tyon Evans behind Jabari Small and then Jalen Wright, and then they'll try to have another guy as well to, like I say, a couple more guys on special teams. But they want to have, you know, 3 to 4 guys that are ready to roll at all times with the tempo of this offense. Does that scare anybody? Or you like that? You like that plug and pull?
Yeah, I mean, when you don't feel like you have one specific guy, then you might as well, you know, get the best at everyone and utilize the different skill sets that each of those players possesses.
Yeah, he talked about Cade Mays too. Alex Golish did. We're going to play him at guard, play him at tackle. He played a bunch of tackle in the spring, as we know. Played a bunch of guard in the spring. We're going to end up playing our best 5, as coaches say. He's one of them. We'll figure out where the best spot is, so how others fit and where he would fit from there. Cade is a guy you can pretty much put anywhere. Like you say, he's pretty much your most efficient, your best offensive lineman, so he can play any position, guard or tackle, he's going to excel at. It's just going to be where do the other guys excel at, and then you put him, you know, after that.
Do you think the offensive line takes a big step forward this year or stays the same, or even – I don't think there's any way they could regress. They've been pretty bad as a unit, but
– I mean, we agree that last year they were bad, right? Even though they were supposed really to be, even though they were supposed to be really good, like they were
the
bad.
The TVA.
Yeah. And then I can't remember the guy's name. Starts with a C, the national analyst who said that we had like the 3rd best offensive line in all of college football last year. Cole Kubelik?
Yeah, Cole Kubelik. He's a former offensive lineman at Auburn.
Granted, last year,
on paper, that was a really good offensive line.
It was. And furthermore, it was pretty hard to be an offensive lineman on the Tennessee football team last year when they didn't have any respect for your quarterback or your passing game. And they could just tee off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they were doing. Georgia laid it out for everyone else pretty much, but they just teed off on our offensive line and on Garantano. And
I mean, even Trey Smith had a bad year, but then he goes and now he's already the number one guy in Kansas City at his position. So, right. I mean, that's got to just fall back on coaching. When Trey Smith like had as bad a year as he did.
Well, because they could bring everyone in the box. There was no threat of getting beat deep. There was no threat of even someone, you know, with the quick one-step throw beat your coverage, because we couldn't even accomplish that. So they could blitz and they could attack. It's just that's such a hard thing for an offensive line, especially, you know, when you're running a lot of power and when you have guys pulling, with these guards pulling. If those linebackers are blitzing, then, you know, when you go to pull around your backside of your line and you're pulling up to the linebacker and that linebacker's blitzed, then you're meeting him in the backfield potentially, or you're having to find him or whatever else. I mean, there's just so many things with how our offense played out because of the coaching and because of Garantano that hurt that offensive line too.
Yeah. Ghost, you talk about Garantano. Ghost asked about transfer quarterback Joe Milton III and how his skill set fits Tennessee's offense. He has a bunch of film, so you get to at least see what he has done at the Division I level. And he went on to say that there's actual film from him at Michigan a year ago. So really strong arm guy, big body type, and I mean big body. He is big. He made an emphasis of that. He is as big of a quarterback as I have ever been around. really strong arm, has the ability to run. They did not ask him to do that a ton, but can win running the football with him as well. But he has an extremely strong arm. Joe Milton, the third. Lots to say about him, but they don't want to let too much from the vest go. They want to keep an open competition, but they are excited with his measurables and his really strong arm. He's going to remember all season. Big, big guy. We'll get to see that when he gets out on the field. 865-546-8200. 546-8200, that's the number here. On the other side, we'll talk the defense. We'll end up finished up hour one. Keep it locked here for the Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz, wrapping up hour number one here. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 with you. Talking Tennessee Fall Camp. Tennessee Media Days kicked off yesterday. Not much longer, people. Football right around the corner, looking at about 29 days until it's Tennessee. It's football time in Tennessee. We asked some lingering questions that we had on our mind about the offense on the other side. Hey, now we'll go ahead and go to the defense.
I was going to say, 3 minutes left, we might as well just keep talking about the offense for a minute, because I think me and GP3 got into an interesting conversation during the break of just ranking the quarterbacks.
Ranking
at the start of fall camp.
All right, day one of fall camp. This is what we've been talking, or you know, counting down all off season.
Well, we'll go ahead and rank them. I'd say Joe Milton will be your starter. Joe Milton the third.
Yeah, we got to make our predictions now before it all.
Do we want to talk about? So the betting favorites were released. That's kind of what started the conversation.
Yeah, so the betting favorites were released. SEC Mike tweeted out some of the betting favorites for the SEC quarterbacks around the league. GB3 said that we have Joe Milton for the Vols at plus 100.
Yeah, betting favorite.
Behind him is Harrison Bailey at plus 150. Then is Hendon Hooker at plus 250.
Yep.
And then Brian Maurer at plus 550. Charlie thinks that's good odds for Maurer.
I think those are great odds for Brian Maurer. I think he's a guy whose skill set fits this offense well. I think he's potentially the second best quarterback, or maybe even the best quarterback out of those names that we just listed.
Do you think he's going to win the starting job?
I think he has a better chance than...
No, just yes or no. Do you think he's going to win the starting job?
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
But
it's not necessarily about whether I think he will or not. It's about the value in it.
But the value I'm saying is if it's the answer is no, then I need plus 1,000 or higher to think it's good value.
I mean, I would say if I were pricing it, I would put it at like plus 250. So if I can get double that at plus 500.
You put it at 250.
Plus 250. God. He's at plus 500, you said, right?
I like
well,
Brian.
He's at plus 550.
550?
But I'm saying you put him at plus 250 is absurd. Nobody would grab that.
Well, I know. No, I'm saying that's what I think, like in terms of his chances. I think he's 100% better than Hendon Hooker. I think he might be better than Joe Milton, and I think he might be better than Harrison Bailey. But I separate Hendon Hooker well below Maurer, Bailey, and Milton. And those three, I honestly couldn't tell you who's the best and who's the worst out of those three yet.
I want whatever you were sipping on last night. I love Brian Maurer, and I even said like 3 months ago maybe he could be a dark horse. But after all the talk about Milton, seeing how these guys continue to talk about his strong arm, seems like they're pretty infatuated with him. The talk from players about him, I think Joe Milton's your clear-cut favorite. I think that they don't want to announce that yet, but that's who they want to be their starter.
I don't think there's any way he can be the clear-cut favorite when he hasn't even practiced with the team yet.
All right. That's you. I think Joe Milton is your clear-cut favorite, and I think that he's going to be the starter. Behind him, I think it's a toss-up between Bailey and Hooker. I'm going to go Bailey, though, just simply because of how many games he started last year. Then I'm going to go Hendon Hooker behind there, and I'm going to say Brian Maurer is one fall camp away from deciding that he's going to transfer.
I think if Maurer switched positions, he could be utilized pretty well in this offense.
He's not fast enough. He's quarterback fast, but he's wide receiver slow.
So why can't he do what Taysom Hill does in the NFL?
Taysom Hill is more athletic by a long shot.
Okay, but there's a reason Taysom Hill's in the NFL. I don't think Brian Maurer's going to the
NFL.
But
Brian, I mean,
but
like
for for the system we run, I think it's the equivalent.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna want to, I mean, if you want to do that with somebody, then do that with Jimmy the Jet Holiday, who has quarterback experience and is actually much more athletic. Like, if you want to incorporate that kind of Taysom Hill like aspect,
okay, I mean,
in what you're doing, then,
why can't you do it with both of them then?
I mean, it's just it doesn't make sense to do it with Brian Maurer.
So just keep him on the bench as a fourth string.
Well, what you think's gonna happen. I don't think he'll be on the bench as a fourth string. I think he'll be
on the bench as a third string.
Third or second. Maybe even start.
Brian, do you want to bet on this? I'll give you 5-1 odds.
No.
Okay.
I don't bet on anything on my own teams.
Okay.
Never?
Never. Ever, ever, ever. And besides futures. The only thing I'll bet
is kind of a future.
The only thing I'll bet is futures, specifically a championship. And all I do is put $10 on every on all my favorite teams to win a championship at the start of the year, regardless. Just so if they happen to win, I could have money to celebrate with.
So, JP, who's your ranking of the quarterbacks, real fast?
I'm in the same boat as you. I think it's Milton 1, Bailey 2,
Hooker
3, Maurer 4. I could see the Hooker and Maurer switching at some point, but I give the edge to Hooker for right now because he started at Virginia Tech last year.
Charlie?
Harrison Bailey 1, Brian Maurer 2, Joe Milton 3, Oxygen 4, and then Hendon Hooker 5.
Wow. We are going to rewind this tape. 10:58 on August.
That's ranking it, though, not my projection for who's going to be the starter.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
That's what we're doing?
Yeah.
I thought we were just ranking on who we thought is the best quarterback.
No, my ranking is my projection.
My ranking is different than my projection. I would have Joe Milton probably starting the way. I'm still going to go Harrison Bailey, Joe Milton, then Hendon Hooker, then Brian Maurer. Or actually, Brian Maurer, then Hendon Hooker, if I'm projecting my starters.
Yeah.
But ranking is Bailey, Maurer, Milton, Hooker.
All right. You heard it from Charlie. On this beautiful Wednesday morning. Hey, hour number one's in the books. Keep it locked here. Hour number two is on deck, people. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.